Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 2nd of July, the Justice and Peace Commission of the Holy Land decries the weaponization of the term just war to legitimize the war in the Gaza Strip. The bishops of Sudan lament the unimaginable destruction and immense suffering of the people in the country. And Pope Francis releases his prayer intention for the month of July for the pastoral care of the sick. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The Justice and Peace Commission of the Holy Land has strongly decried the weaponization of the term just war to legitimize the ongoing war waged by Israel in the Gaza Strip. In a statement released this week, the Catholic body said that neither the attacks by Hamas nor Israel's devastating war in response satisfy the criteria for just war, according to Catholic doctrine. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Recalling the true meaning of the century-old magisterium of the Church on this issue as explained by the Catholic Catechism, the Holy Land Justice and Peace Commission strongly rejected the just war argument advanced by several political actors in Israel and abroad to legitimize the ongoing devastation and killing of civilians in Gaza. The statement lamented that this theory is being used in a way in which it was never intended to justify the death of tens of thousands of innocent people. The commission remarked that neither the horrific attacks waged by Hamas terrorists on October the 7th nor Israel's devastating war in response satisfy the criteria for just war, notably that of clearly differentiating between civilians and combatants and the employment of a proportionate use of force. Recalling Pope Francis' tireless appeals for an immediate ceasefire and the release of the Israeli hostages, the statement insisted that the Israeli right to self-defense in the wake of the Hamas attack must be guided by the principles of distinction and proportionality and comply with the international humanitarian law. The Justice and Peace Commission further questioned the righteousness of war, echoing Pope Francis and St. Paul John II's words that war is in fact always a defeat for humanity and even a deception. Concluding, the statement reiterated the Church's impassionate appeal for peace and justice for all in the Holy Land. The time has come to end this conflict, to prevent its spread threatening a world war, and to mobilize a language that opens to new horizons. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Meanwhile, the United Nations says that 250,000 people in southern Gaza have been affected by evacuation orders from the Israeli military, as Nathan Morley reports.
These evacuation instructions are being taken as a signal that Israeli troops are likely to launch a new ground assault. And yet again, refugees are on the move. Many Palestinians, numbered in the thousands, have been packing up and leaving tent camps in Khan Yunis on foot, in carts, some pulled by donkeys, on bicycles and motorbikes, and by car. Patients and medical staff are also reported to be fleeing the European hospital, which is currently being run on a skeleton staff. Overnight, the Israeli military launched strikes on an area thought to have been used to stage the launching of around 20 missiles at Israel on Monday. Louise Wateridge, an official with the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees in Gaza, asked where people could go as they were forced to leave their homes yet again. Israel has been carrying out a massive offensive in the Gaza Strip in reprisal for a Hamas rampage last year, during which about 1,200 people were killed and 250 were kidnapped. Elsewhere, the Cypriot ambassador to Lebanon has said that Cyprus will not allow the use of its lands to wage military attacks against Lebanon. Earlier this month, the Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah warned Cyprus that if it assisted Israel in attacking Lebanon, it would itself become a target. On June the 20th, the Cypriot president, Nikos Christodoulidis, said that Cyprus is not involved in any way in the conflicts in the Middle East and dismissed the Hezbollah claims. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
15 months into the devastating civil war in Sudan, the country's bishops lament the unimaginable destruction and immense suffering of the people. In a statement, the bishops sound the alarm regarding their concern for the disbelieving level of violence and hatred that is tearing the fabric of Sudanese society apart and for the lack of a glimmer of hope for peace and dialogue. Linda Bordoni reports.
We cannot distance ourselves, say the Catholic bishops of Sudan, from what is happening in our country since war erupted in April 2023, describing the horrendous war crimes and human rights abuses committed by both sides. In a statement issued following a meeting that concluded on Saturday, the bishops appeal for a stop to the war, for the delivery of humanitarian assistance, advocacy for peace, and preparation for post-conflict rehabilitation, reconstruction and trauma healing. The power struggle between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces erupted into large-scale conflict in April last year. Estimates say the conflict has killed at least 16,000 people. 12 million have been displaced from their homes. The Sudanese bishops write that the fabric of Sudanese society has been torn apart, with people shocked, traumatized, and disbelieving about the level of violence and hatred. This, they say, is not simply a war between two generals. And they note the military has inextricably embedded itself in the economic life of the country. And both parties have a network of wealthy, elite Sudanese and international individuals and cartels who benefit from their control of various sectors of the economy. What's more, the bishops decry there is not even a glimmer of light regarding a peace dialogue that can bring hope for the Sudanese people. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, has warned that continued violence and instability in the Caribbean nation of Haiti is displacing one child every minute. The unrest has displaced over 300,000 children since March, and so UNICEF is appealing for action to protect the nation's most vulnerable population. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
UNICEF's Executive Director Catherine Russell has highlighted the humanitarian catastrophe unfolding in Haiti, saying the situation in the country is taking a devastating toll on children. In a recent statement, she noted that displaced children are in desperate need of a safe and protective environment and increased support and funding from the international community. Across Haiti, an estimated 3 million children are in need of this humanitarian assistance against a background of years of political turmoil and widespread poverty that's led to rampant disease, worsened by multiple disasters. The UNICEF statement notes that displaced children in Haiti faced heightened risks of violence, including exploitation, abuse, and family separation due to the unrest in the country. Access to essential services such as health care, clean water, and sanitation has been seriously disrupted. UNICEF warns that poor hygienic conditions in camps and makeshift settlements increase susceptibility to diseases like cholera, and school closures and economic constraints driven by the violence have forced many children to abandon their education. With few means for survival, some children are increasingly forced to join armed groups, UNICEF notes, and it's a clear violation of their rights and a breach of international law. Catherine Russell notes that the needs in Haiti continue to grow alongside the dangers for children, adding that everyone has a role to play to change this situation and trajectory and ensure that children can be protected as well as have education and access to basic services. She underscores that children should not be paying with their lives and their futures for a crisis created by adults. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Elsewhere, about 60 people are feared dead in a stampede at a religious event in India's northern state of Uttar Pradesh. The stampede happened in a village in the Hathras district, about 200 kilometres southeast of the national capital, New Delhi. Meanwhile, in yesterday's broadcast, we mentioned that the Vatican cricket team was about to take on St. Mary's University, a Catholic institution based in Twickenham, London. Today, we are pleased to be able to inform you that the Vatican went on to win that cricket match. It was a T20 match, and the Vatican opened the batting, finishing with a solid total of 136. St. Mary's fought back valiantly, but ultimately came up just short with a total of 131 for 5. Vatican Radio's Joseph Tollock was at that match. Between innings, he spoke to Bishop Richard Moth, the chair of the Board of Governors at St. Mary's University. And the conversation took place before and during the match, so you'll hear the bishop wish for the best team to win.
The Vatican team, having had the contact with me before, asked me if it would be possible to arrange a match here at the wonderful cricket ground at Arundel Castle. And it took us a couple of years to get there, but we're here today. Thanks to the Duke of Norfolk, who's welcomed us here. And it's a fantastic ground, a very beautiful place to play cricket. It's wonderful to welcome the Vatican team back and to have them here at Arundel, just across the road from our cathedral. They're playing a team, most of them from St. Mary's University, the Catholic University in Twickenham. And with one player coming from the Bishops' Conference offices to join them today, which is rather lovely. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to celebrate sport in the Catholic world, if you like. And I think the Vatican team sees themselves, in a sense, as doing kind of soft evangelization, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's this sense of the gospel being accessed through all sorts of means, and this spirit of fraternity that you see in sport, and just the opportunity to bring the gospel into the sporting world, I think is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
No, except to say I hope the best team wins. I'm kind of feel I've got to be slightly on the fence today, having been involved with the Vatican team a little bit in the past and being involved in getting them here. But because I'm the chair of the board at St Mary's, I've got to be very even-handed here. So I'm just going to say, I hope the best team wins.
Very diplomatic. Thank you.
That was Bishop Richard Moth, the chair of the Board of Governors of St Mary's University, talking Vatican cricket with Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch. And finally, Pope Francis released his prayer intention for the month of July today, which is for the pastoral care of the sick. In a video accompanying the intention, the Pope invited Christians to pray that the sacrament of the anointing of the sick may reveal God's closeness to people enduring illnesses. Devon Watkins has more.
Let us pray that the sacrament of the anointing of the sick grant the Lord's strength to those who receive it and to their loved ones, and that it may become for everyone an ever more visible sign of compassion and hope. Pope Francis offered that invitation to Christians around the world in the Pope video, which accompanies his monthly prayer intention. The Pope is inviting the Church to pray for the pastoral care of the sick during the month of July 2024. In the video, he recalled that the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is not only for people at death's doorstep. If someone thinks that a priest offering the sacrament means that they are about to die, said the Pope, they have embraced a hopeless vision. Let us remember, he said, that the anointing of the sick is one of the sacraments of healing, of restoration, that heals the spirit. He added that the sacrament is always available for people who are ill, especially the elderly. When a person is very ill, he said, it's advisable to give them the anointing of the sick. Pope Francis concluded by praying that the sacrament may become a more visible sign of compassion and hope. A press release accompanying the Pope video, which is produced by the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network, said the video was filmed with help from the U.S. dioceses of Allentown and Los Angeles. Two stories of illness, very different in terms of age and clinical situation, are woven together to highlight how God's love for us is expressed in the sacrament. Jesuit Father Federic Fornos, International Director of the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network, said the Pope invites Catholics to reconsider our preconceptions about the sacrament. Pope Francis hopes we can rediscover the complete depth and true meaning of this sacrament, he said, not only as a preparation for death, but also as a sacrament that offers consolation to the sick in times of serious illness and strength to their loved ones and those caring for them. I'm Devon Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News website at vaticannews.va. And you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti, our sound engineer in studio today. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.